Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
The firm of Harris and Marang. Not ambulance chasing, but plenty of rides in one.
From the hips down, man, it's a disaster.
The firm. Patrick Harris.
And someone crashed their car on the I-5 bridge.
Danny Marang.
I've had some bad runs.
On the Fan Sports Network, 105.1 and 1080, The Fan.
All right, hour number deuce. If you missed any in the first hour, you can download that, The Fan Podcast, at 1051thefan.com, the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts. Check out the YouTube page, youtube.com/1051thefan. You can catch previous shows. If you missed the Sunrise Boys, you can check that out on the YouTubes or the Odyssey app. If you missed Prime Time from Friday, you want to get a little club action in, a little extra club before you get to them today, you can check that on the Odyssey app or YouTube as well. Coming up this hour, we will get into a little abysmal. There's a World Series tied 1-1, Game 3 tonight. Cillian Murphy opposite Max Scherzer on the bump tonight.
Wow, Peaky Blinders, huh?
Peaky Blinders, dude. You ever taken a peek at Tyler Glass now? He looks just like him.
Yeah, he does.
And then we'll have Web Gems. But, you know, we were laughing at the very beginning of the show about how, like, I just want this stuff to go away, but it's not going to go away.
No.
You know, it's not going to go away. And talking about gambling in sports raises the question of, you know, what is the happy medium? Because Pandora's box is open. I feel 5-6 years ago before gambling really got going, it was kind of like, be careful. Once you get into it, there's no going back.
You can't put it back in.
And you know, with the story of Chauncey Billups and Terry Rozier and Damon Jones and now other people potentially being involved, and we had the Shohei Ohtani situation and Calvin Ridley amongst the NFL, there's players, coaches involved. Most recently, Eastern Michigan. You showed me that story, Eastern Michigan, a bunch of dudes.
Three players failing to cooperate with the investigation because they're cooked.
Because they knew they were guilty and they were dismissed from the team. Dude, we're looking at John Mateer's Venmo account.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, that's how this goes. You know, Malik Murphy, we don't know if he's wrapped up in this Damon Jones Chauncey thing because he's gone quiet
mm-hmm.
on that situation. So you have all these players and coaches involved, and it's kind of the same human element, you know, like, guys play fantasy, you know, guys are gambling. The NCAA just allowed all three tiers to be able to gamble.
Mm-hmm.
Shouldn't you be able to kind of pull that back a little bit?
Well, it was unfortunate timing for the NCAA, that's for sure. But the legality of it all, the NCAA has been proven. They have no recourse.
Mm-hmm.
They have no bite. They have no teeth. They have nothing. And if this had been taken to court, you know what they would have done? Spend a bunch of money losing.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's nothing legally that says you have the right to tell them no.
And sports commissioners are allowing this to happen.
They are.
And some of them have different takes on it, but it's bringing more eyeballs to the game. Let's not beat around the bush on this. It's generating more revenue
than ever
before.
Did you hear Jaylen Brown's comments?
I did.
For being a guy who went to Cal, he's a dumb man. To get up there and say that we don't, as players, reap the benefits of gambling. Go look at your salary, dog. For about 3 weeks, you were the highest paid player in the entire NBA.
What I will push back and what I will say I think Jaylen Brown was referring to is the level of hate they get due to gambling, does not supersede the amount of money they're
actually
making.
He was very specific in his statement about the money.
But that's what I took from it, is that...
That's because you're weird.
Well, hey.
I get what you're saying. Did you actually hear him, or did you read it?
No, I heard it.
Okay. He was talking about the money.
I know he was, but I took that from a larger standpoint.
I didn't, because he was complaining about the money, saying we don't reap the benefits. And you absolutely do. Your salaries are skyrocketing.
And that's why the owners support it, because it's due to the revenue, sponsorships, commercials, jerseys, patches, the ticker, pregame, postgame coverage of ESPN. Right, right.
Yeah.
But how much is too much? At what cost are you willing to make money?
Oh, I'm with you. I'm with you 100%. Look, I have said this now for about 2 years. Prop bets need to go.
Right, but I don't think it's just prop bets.
Well, you can't stop gambling now.
Well, I know.
But prop bets have to go. And
even with the prop, like you just say, you can't stop gambling now because the toothpaste has already been squeezed out of the tube. Isn't it the same with prop bets? How do you just eliminate that?
Well, they're gonna go dark, but like you can't have it. You can't because the proliferation of it, and look, the number of cases that are gonna keep popping up, it's either that or they continue to allow them. And if you get caught up in it, they throw you in federal prison.
Mm-hmm.
Like that, like you need to prosecute to the fullest extent of the law every single one of them. I'm even talking college kids. If you want to cross this line,
ending their lives.
Dog, this is a no go. I want the punishment to be so punitive that federal charges. It crosses state lines, boom, wire fraud, gone.
Do you think that protects the integrity of the game?
Yes.
Because the money is a sacrifice for the integrity, potentially.
Yeah. No, you're 100% right. So we talked about this a lot off air when the news broke, and then over the weekend I talked about this a ton with other folks around the NBA particularly. The idea that other leagues, the second that happened, weren't ramping everything up and going, no, absolutely not. NFL released, they released a statement. It was leaked that memos were sent to every team in the NFL of, absolutely not. We are going to make sure, if you are even thinking about this, don't do it, dog, because guess what's out there? And then the NBA sent a memo to every team this morning. Shams had the tweet of, yeah, we're basically revisiting all of our practices and our training and reviewing whether or not prop bets should have a future. Like, Adam Silver is being called to Congress.
Mm-hmm. Well, commissioners are on a higher alert. They're making statements to the public about how they do their utmost to protect. This is Adam Silver at the Knicks-Celtics game on Prime Video. It's a little long, but bear with me. He was kind of caught a little off guard, I would say, but he answered very honestly and transparent. Here's what he had to say.
Yesterday, federal indictments were announced involving current player Terry Rozier and current head coach Chauncey Billups. What was your initial reaction, and what have the last 36 hours been like for you?
My initial reaction was I was deeply disturbed. There's nothing more important to the league and its fans than the integrity of the competition. And so I had a pit in my stomach. It was very upsetting.
And Terry Rozier was allowed to keep playing after an NBA investigation ruled that there was no NBA rules violated. What do you make of that decision now amid the FBI's allegations against him?
So what happened was, because bets were placed through legalized legal betting companies, they picked up aberrational behavior around a particular game in March of 23. And so that was brought to our attention by the regulators and the betting companies. We then looked into that situation and were very transparent about it. And while there was that aberrational betting, we frankly couldn't find anything. Terry at the time cooperated. He gave the league office his phone. He sat down for an interview. And we ultimately concluded that there was insufficient evidence, despite that aberrational behavior, to move forward. We then worked directly with the law enforcement, as they said at the press conference, that the league has been cooperating. And so that was obviously over 2 years ago. So the federal government has subpoena power, can threaten to put people in jail, can do all kinds of things that a league office can't do. So we've been working with them since then. And of course, what they announced yesterday was an indictment. So 2.5 years later, he still hasn't been convicted of anything, in fairness to Terry. Obviously, it doesn't look good, but he's now been put on administrative leave. And so, you know, there's a balance here of protecting people's rights and investigating. And as I said, we've been working with the government, and they have extraordinary powers that a league office doesn't have.
That's Adam Silver. I thought he handled that really well, but I'm not going to lie.
Really?
I'm not going to lie to you. I think he handled it well.
Oh.
Like being asked in a tunnel about your league crumbling because of gambling. But what I will say is this reeks a little bit to me like steroids in baseball in the late 90s when Bud Selig was brought to his attention about gambling. The whole, like, I can't do as much as the FBI feels a little like, what do you want me to do? I can't do anything when your hand got caught in the cookie jar.
Well,
not that they're compliant.
No.
But they are compliant adjacent.
No.
They are an accessory, an indirect accessory.
I think you're spot on with Bud Selig, and he was full of crap.
Mm-hmm,
he knew the entire league was juiced, and he benefited off of it.
Without a doubt.
Adam Silver knew what was going on. Not necessarily this, but like knew that this was a problem.
See, and I think it all falls down to, and this is because I watch way too much Law and Order, and this is a phrase you'll hear a lot in there.
Dun, dun.
Dun, dun. Yeah, exactly. Dun, dun. Deny what you can't admit and admit what you can't deny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think that's what most of these kinds of answers are.
Also, the idea that the NBA just doesn't have the resources to do this
is garbage.
Is so heinous. If you guys only knew the level of detail and that security teams go into when players are being evaluated for the draft, they're going back and they're talking to janitors at their high school. Did this guy pick up after himself? Does this guy run with, like, who did you see him running with? Like, they will talk to anyone and everyone.
Yeah, well, and I don't want to hear that they don't have the resources to effectively investigate this when their yearly media package is in the bees.
Yeah, and here, not only that, here, I'm going to, I wish I brought my tinfoil, my actual tinfoil hat today. I have not said this on air, but this is where I think this is all at. I think that this is a lot worse than it already is. And I think, again, this is all me. I think the NBA knew that Rozier had this and they had it provable. And I think the FBI came to them and said, let him go. We want to put him on a line, hook, line, and sinker, and we want him
see
out there as
goes.
Bait. And we want him back in there. I think they had him dead to rights.
Well, I also think something that the NBA and leagues have it to their advantage.
Himself. Yeah, let him hang himself 100% and see if anybody else hits the line.
And you know what I think they have to their advantage? Is they have a safety net.
Mm.
That safety net is Las Vegas.
Yeah.
Because look, the NBA doesn't want to lose the integrity of their sport or lose their money. Vegas literally is their money. That is their life. Okay, NBA can get out of a Rozier situation, a Tim Donaghy situation, but Vegas can't.
Yeah.
If people are cooking books against Vegas, Vegas don't like that.
No.
So that's why I'm kind of with you on Silver, like, crying wolf a little bit of just like, well, what can we do? What can we do? Because you know Vegas will back you up, and maybe the FBI knew that too, because they knew they might not catch Rozier. But once Vegas turns books off real quick for no reason, for a Miami-Charlotte game in the middle of February, you're like, what's this about?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the safety net. When we come back, I want to stick with this conversation of what to do. I've got an interesting thought about gambling and its impression, and it has to do with the NFL. Would they be as popular if gambling wasn't around? We'll stick right here. 105.1 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. the scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
503-864-6326 is the fan text line. Also jump on the YouTube chat as well. We're talking about gambling here and trying to find that happy medium in between letting it happen but still being able to police the integrity of your own sport. Look, we've said it over and over, the Pandora's box is open. So now you're on damage control, and the NBA sees that first and foremost. There's an interesting comment from Rob Manfred a year ago, and he was talking about how they were basically kind of dragged into legalized sports because of a case that went to the Supreme Court. And it was basically, the litigation basically stated that you couldn't prevent, as to your point earlier, you couldn't prevent people from, you know, exercising their rights as a freedom American capitalistic citizen.
PAFPA, I think, was the they argued against. That's what allowed gambling to kind of come into all of this. So yeah, it's, you can't, but you can't from a legal ground, a legal standing,
okay,
say no. Now you can do it in the NFL, MLB, NBA. You know why? CBA. It's collectively bargained.
But
that's why.
But that was Rob Manfred.
I know, but I'm saying, like, as far as like what is allowed and isn't versus like the legal cases against it, for whether it's college sports or in professional sports, what changes is the collective bargaining agreement. That's where the legality comes in.
Yeah, I think you can easily allow, you know, citizens and fans do gambling. I despite being somebody that doesn't care for gambling and doesn't like doing it and doesn't really enjoy that it's around, I understand. It's like smoking cigarettes. It's like, you know, skydiving. Like, those are things that you probably shouldn't do, but, like, it's America. Do whatever you want. But I don't understand why it's not in the CBA to just say no. That as employees, because look, as an employee of a certain company, you know, like, weed's legal, but I get drug tested. You know, how is that any difference of some jobs? When I was a manager at some restaurants, there's in my conduct, in my code of conduct and my handbook that I sign, states that I will not have another job. When I was doing the hot corner, I had to have conversations with them. And I was like, look, yes, I get paid by another company to do something, but this is not affecting my job. This doesn't do anything to it.
It's not a competitive situation.
No. Can I still do this? And I had to get addendums to say yes. So there is stuff that you can put in paperwork. What's to stop these leagues from just saying, don't do it? You're not allowed to.
Because you're collectively bargained.
But why would players union want to? See, if I was a players union rep, I would try to convince these guys not to be a part of
it. Puts
yourself in too much trouble.
It flies directly in the face of a union. A union's job is to get you every right, every opportunity, every single thing.
Well,
why do we have to fight for every right when some of them are wrong?
Yeah, exactly.
No, it does. It no.
That is, you're generalizing unions. Unions can make choices as they want.
Are unions ever going to be more restrictive?
Maybe about certain things that can be detrimental.
I don't think that that's the case.
MLB passed, you can't do steroids.
Sure, that was collectively bargained.
Yeah, because the MLBPA was like, yeah, we're down with that. That's a restriction.
And how many things are now on the unbanned list?
Well, but regardless, they still said that this is something that shouldn't do because it hurts the integrity of the game, and they agreed.
And I don't think they look at gambling wholesale as the integrity of the game.
And I'm saying they should.
But betting on baseball, absolutely. That's collectively bargained.
The impact of gambling on sports is unquestioned. But let me ask you this. I was teasing this as we went into the break about the NFL. Without gambling or fantasy, which is basically gambling, would the NFL just be a larger version of college football in regionality?
I don't think so. I think fantasy football does help, certainly.
Because why I'm not a Broncos fan or a Giants fan. Why am I watching those games?
If you're living in Oregon because of Bo Nix, and if you're a
But I didn't go to Oregon.
You still like watching him.
But that's because I do this for a living. I'm a small percentage, you know, but people are tuning into Jacksonville versus Tennessee, sorry, Russ, because they have Cam Ward on their fantasy team or they have Travis Hunter on their fantasy team.
I think
team.
That impact
and
is...
Travis Etienne better run for 100-plus yards and score a touchdown.
I think that that's certainly a factor. I was at the K2 Studios last night, and a couple of the other guys that were in the bullpen were talking about their fantasy scores last night, about needing X amount of points from somebody to win this game or win this week or whatever. I think that does play a part. I do. But I think the NFL is king and has been king long before that. But not just king. It adds to it, but it's not the crux. Like, it is our sport wholly and totally, and I think it would still be this unabashed, complete and utter monster, even if fantasy football didn't exist.
I'm not saying they wouldn't be number one. They would for sure still be number one.
I think their numbers would still be where they are.
But I wonder, if they're a $13 billion business, would they be more of a $10 billion business and still be number one if they didn't have gambling attached to it?
Well, I think they're a $25 billion business.
I don't remember the number. It jumps, but you know what
NBA
I mean?
Is, yeah, but
if they're 25, would they be 20?
Yeah. No, that's fair. That is fair. But
because,
I think that's
because
more
let's
about...
take college football, for example, right? You don't need to watch Stanford, Miami. I'm only watching it because I have ties to it because of my father-in-law.
Because you're kissing up to your father-in-law.
Exactly. And I'm not afraid to admit that. But like, my buddy Jesse, he's a big Giants fan. I don't watch Giants games to talk to him. You know, just like if my father-in-law didn't go to Stanford, I'm not watching Stanford, Miami.
Maybe I'm different.
That game was 35-7.
Maybe I'm different in this sense. I place bets on the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
Semi-regularly. Most of my bets, maybe this is just how I gamble. Most of my bets are futures. Who's going to win a division? Who's going to win a conference? Who's a playoff team? Awards? Stuff like that. I have never... ever tuned into a game because I have money or fantasy points on a game.
I think you're an outlier.
Maybe I am.
I agree with Patrick.
I think you are a massive, massive outlier.
I see if I like when I played fantasy football, I haven't played in like 4 or 5 years. I would watch the game that I wanted to watch and I would have, you know, either my phone or my laptop and I would check, okay, he's doing pretty well. Okay.
Falcons, Dolphins. No reason to watch that unless you have Bijan Robinson.
And so basically that means is that you are not the target of all of the sports gambling ads with the 15-second disclaimers
Patriots,
in a
Browns.
60-second spot.
Patriots, Browns. I'm watching that game because it's kind of tight early. It's cagey at halftime. And I have the Patriots covering the spread. That's why I'm watching that game. Eagles, Giants. Eagles finally got the ball running. I'm watching that game because I need to know to Saquon get that second touchdown.
I think there are people out there that are that.
Buying the NFL packet, the Sunday ticket, buying Red Zone and having that. I'm not going to deny NFL is king. Of course they are. But I think they benefit so much off gambling that it leads to the question, what's it going to take for this?
What's the percentage of fans do you think that, because I think it's significantly less than 10%.
I bet you it's 35%.
I don't think it's that high.
Fantasy and gambling in NFL?
No. That is the reason they're watching. I think a lot of people participate. I don't think it's the reason.
Outside of a Browns or a Patriots fan, why would you watch that game?
Because you're an NFL sicko and your game's not on until later and sitting on the couch watching football.
Because you got juice on it.
I think maybe you're asking a good question, but I'm not quite sure it's the right one. And I don't think it's the percentage of NFL fans that are watching it from a gambling standpoint. I think it's the percentage of NFL fans that are gambling on it that are watching the NFL from a gambling standpoint. Does that make sense?
I think most of your actual dyed-in-the-wool NFL fans are more like dirt. They're watching no matter what. Even outside of this, him working here, he's watching football no matter what because he's a football psychopath and he's going to sit on his couch and he's going to watch his games. But he's going to gamble alongside it.
But I would argue that he or a person similar to him are watching Red Zone. They are not tuning over specifically to the Patriots-Browns game. They're watching Red Zone and letting that dictate what they're seeing.
I think you are
tuning into the New England Browns game because you're either a Browns fan, a Patriots fan, or you have juice of some sort in it.
I think you're casual.
Red Zone is a different thing.
I think you're a casual NFL fan, and guys who like to gamble on the NFL are too... They're just different subsects. Mm-hmm. While there is a certain amount of the Venn diagram that overlaps, I don't think it's that big. They feel very different to me.
I look at this as, I think most NFL fans are NFL fans. They have their teams, and why you would check in on a Patriots game is because Drake May's cooking, and he's doing exactly what he's doing. And Myles Garrett has 5 sacks. Maybe I'm naive. Maybe I am. I still think most NFL fans, the staggering majority of NFL fans, just want to watch ball. Now, may they have action on a game, and may they flip over to it? Yeah, I have no problem conceding that. But I think the staggering majority are just football sickos.
And I think they're either watching whatever game's on TV for free or Red Zone. Mm-hmm. A wide, wide margin of people that aren't gambling are watching either whatever the TV game is or Red Zone.
They had the Red Zone numbers that were out. The Red Zone numbers aren't that high. Like, they're high, but they're not that high.
What's the subscription rate for the Sunday ticket? And I would love to know, do people just buy Sunday tickets so they can watch their team every week? Or is it so they can watch all the games? Because I bet you that Venn diagram is really thin. Most people are buying Sunday ticket so they can watch, they live in LA and want to watch Packers games every single week.
Right. And see, like, most Sundays, I have it on Red Zone, unless there is a game during that 10 o'clock or 1 p.m. window that I really, really want to zero in on and focus on. I am on the Red Zone from 10 until 4:30.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
So there's no official numbers on it, but estimates put it at around a couple million.
Couple million subscribers
to Red Zone. It's not that many. I mean, it is, but it's not. I don't think the staggering majority of NFL fans are Red Zone subscribers.
Well,
now, Sunday
and
Ticket.
And that's the thing, though, too, is that it's also a subscription-based thing, so it's not your free over-the-air, and it's also not nearly as cost-prohibitive as getting the Sunday ticket.
For sure.
Because, like, for me, my cable package is $10 a month.
Yeah.
That's cheap.
And that's part of a different, like, extra sports package. It's not just for Red Zone. I think it also included Root Sports, which... Sweet.
R.I.P.
Yeah, right.
So they said it brought in roughly $500 million. So they're probably juicing that a little bit. It's probably like 480 to 490, which is probably anywhere between 3.5 to 4 million subscribers, which is not, that's a good number. Don't get me wrong. But that's not the overwhelming majority of NFL fans.
Of the people that subscribe to Sunday Ticket,
mm-hmm.
how many of them have that just to watch their team?
I think they're NFL sickos.
I don't. I think they have that to watch Packer games because they live in L.A.
Oh, that I think that's a big part of it,
too. But I don't think they're bouncing around, really.
I mean,
they might find the best game of the weekend. You know, if you look at the morning slate,
mm-hmm.
I would tune in to Niners-Texans if it wasn't on TV. That's the game I would have tuned into.
I mean, I've got
But I'm not tuning into Browns, Patriots, Jets, Bengals, Dolphins, Falcons.
Well, you are, because the window, we talked about this on Friday.
But if it's the window and I don't have juice on it, I'm picking the best game. I'm not bouncing around games.
I bounce around games.
No, when it's 17-3 at halftime, the Dolphins are up on the Falcons, I'm like, oh, that game sucks.
Sure, but again, we can also see this in the ratings of which games actually have real ratings. And I don't think people are doing it just like if you look at ratings of games get good ratings, regardless of juice or not. Like
right.
You could go look at, okay, how much juice is on Tua's over. Let's say Tua's over this last week.
Talking about gambling.
Yeah, if we're talking about...
You're talking about gambling.
Yeah.
That's why the juice is on. That's why they're watching.
No, let me finish this. If Tua's over is 200 yards and the game is awful, you can find out pretty clearly if the rating is above expectation because people are watching that shouldn't be watching a game that's over. Do you understand what I'm saying?
But your reason that people are interested in the game is because of gambling.
No. I'm saying you can measure that.
But I don't care if his over-under is 200 or not, because I don't have any juice on it.
You're not hearing what I'm saying.
Well, I'm listening.
At all.
I'm definitely listening.
If you're not watching the Dolphins play at all, but now you're watching because you're watching to see what if Tua's over hits.
But why do I care if Tua's over
Would
hits?
You let me finish? Jesus!
When you got juice.
When you have juice on the game, if the expectation for dog-ass game is 5 million people is watching, but all of a sudden it spikes up to 7.5 in a dog-ass game because Tua's over is close to hitting, that's a pretty good indicator that that's happening. I don't think that's happening. I think the rating is the rating is the rating. Now, is there going to be people that do watch because of that? Yes. But I think you can get a pretty good understanding because they have the subscription service and it'll tell you what they're watching and how much they're watching. The NFL knows this data. And I bet you that number is pretty small.
And I still think that number, people are tuning in because they have the juice on it. You can see it on the stat line, but people want to see it real time.
But that's what I mean. You can see it. The data will tell you
in real
time. I know,
but people want to watch it happen.
No. I'm talking about you. The NFL and the gambling companies, they're sharing that data back and forth. They can see how many people are watching, subscribers are watching in a given period. Like, you're talking about, just take it as like a win probability chart. If your win probability is X or Y, you can see viewership go up and down with win probability, right? Mm-hmm. If game good, win probability at 50, game tight, more people watch. We would all agree, right? In general?
Sure, yeah.
If win probability is Dolphins 98%, now the subscriber probably starts to fall off, right? People are flipping over to other games. It's not a good game. But if it were to spike because Tua's over is getting close and people want to see it live, you would see that reflected. And I don't think you're seeing that reflected.
Okay.
Do you understand what I'm saying now?
Sure.
Okay.
Game 3 of the World Series is tonight, and here's Russ with sports.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life, all told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. There was something
going on. Coming up in 15 minutes, we'll get into Web Gems as we do every single day at 11:45. And the Big Nooner coming up too. We'll chat a little Blazers. Would you rather have Blazers or Zers, Rust?
No.
Yes,
Blazers.
Thank you.
I just created that myself. Blazers.
Yeah, that's. We can just go ahead and chuck that one.
Yeah, stay away from Blazers because that might one might autocorrect for you in the search history.
I see what you mean.
There we go.
I see where you went there.
It's my fault.
Just like on the dang bus, right?
Yeah, that dang bus.
Oh boy, I'm not stepping into this one. You guys can have that fun. World Series heads back to LA 1-1 tonight. Cillian Murphy on the bump. I mean, Tyler Glasnow on the bump.
I don't know why I never made that connection. You're right.
It just looks exactly
good. God,
like
he looks just like him.
Looks exactly
why
like
have
him.
I never seen that before?
And then against old Mad Max for the Blue Jays. Look, this series is, we'll just chat real quick about it and then move on. This series has gotten quite spicy. Blue Jays offense came to play game one.
Hey, remind me again. Dodgers in how many?
Three. I'll still take the Dodgers in three.
What an onslaught.
That was wild. Look, we talk about it all the time. Things that have never happened before, and baseball's been around for 170 years.
First pinch hit grand slam
in World Series history.
Dog.
Pretty nice.
I mean, scratching across a nine in an inning.
I was really surprised. So it's funny, as a wannabe baseball expert that I pretend to be, at least I play one on TV, I was really surprised. You know, I keep hearing all this like, well, the Blue Jays, you know, hit the ball really hard. They make contact. They don't strike out, et cetera, et cetera. They'll be a good test for the Dodgers starting rotation. I was like, that ain't true at all. And then I was completely wrong. But then enter game two, Yoshinobu Yamamoto throws a complete game gem. Let me tell you something. I was reading this since like the dawn of the World Series up until 1993, there was like 395 complete games pitched in the World Series.
Good God.
Since 94,
was it four?
Strike year, it's three.
Good God.
It's
It's going to be low. I can't believe it's that low.
It's Madison Bumgarner in 2014.
Which was an insane game.
It's Johnny Cueto in 2015.
Oh, so it's just absolute gems.
And Yoshinobu Yamamoto in game two of 2025.
Which is crazy when you think about, like, just go. Let's go back to the best pitching performances we've seen. Pettit, Randy.
Some Curt Schilling performances.
Like, games that were just like Pedro.
Roy Halladay in the playoffs. Oh, yeah. Not like, World Series, but playoffs, yeah.
How there's only... Three
complete games in the World Series since 93.
That's, wow.
Yeah. It's pretty wild. And Yamamoto, that's his second complete game in a row. So you tell me where the how the Blue Jays are going to win this game, win this series. Because Yamamoto's going to get one more start at some point. It might not be game five, but it'll be game six if necessary. I don't see how they overcome it. The dude is on a completely different level.
It's getting to the pen.
It is. And that showed game one.
Yeah. And Snell was fine until he wasn't. Snell was fine until he wasn't. Hung one, and then it was over.
And the sixth inning was an absolute disaster in game one. And sometimes you just kind of go, eh, see you later.
Maybe this is revisionist history, but are you looking at that and going, that, but, you know, if you're Dodgers, you know, they spent what they had.
Yep, I don't care.
Like, right?
I go, whatever. Any of these four dudes in their rotation, whether it's Glasnow, Otani, who are going to pitch game three and game four, Yamamoto in game two, Snell in game one, if one of them gets rocked, I don't care.
Right.
If Glasnow gets rocked tonight, I'm concerned.
Then the eyebrows up.
I'm a little concerned at that point. I don't think he will. He's been pitching really good. They also have Max Scherzer on the mound. And the Dodgers' key to success in this World Series has been getting to their starters early. Now, their starters are settling in. Yesavage settled in. Gausman settled in. Mm-hmm. But they gave up early stuff, and it was Will Smith at the dish doing damage in both games. And I think if you're a Dodger fan, you're looking at that, you're like, nice, we're up 2-0, 2-1, even tied 2-2. I still feel good about this. And if you can knock the starter out, that's the recipe for the Dodgers. But that's a lot easier said than done.
Sure. And
Yamamoto had like 104 pitches yesterday.
Has there been a bigger return in the playoffs to a team that's already loaded than Will Smith coming back?
It's amazing. He's the MVP right now.
He's been phenomenal.
He's the MVP right now. Unless Yamamoto...
Came back, what, 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, unless Yamamoto comes back with another...
And deals
game,
another.
Then he'll win it. I'm proud of the Blue Jays. I was talking with Luke Anderson about this earlier today. I don't understand my rooting interest in this World Series because I love Vladdy. Shane Beebs is my guy. Mm-hmm. I think Schneider's a decent coach.
And I love me some Alejandro Kirk.
But I hate George Springer. And I hate Bo Bichette. And
why do you hate Bo?
Because I don't think he's a very good baseball player.
Wow.
Yeah.
Major league baseball player, huh?
Yeah.
Not very good?
Well, by his standards, I don't think he's very good.
Okay. There we go.
Well, it's not like I'm saying I'm better than
him. Just, you know.
Look, dude, we do this for a living. I'm allowed to say that, you know, that Spencer Rattler is ass at quarterback. Okay? That doesn't mean I'm better than him.
I know. I just had to give you a little bit of help. Back into a corner a little bit there.
Side note.
Make a punch out of the corner.
Side note, dear Saints fans, be glad Tyler Shuck went in that game. Otherwise, I would be roasting you right now.
Yeah, because
so hard.
Good Lord.
I don't understand.
The Bucs look terrible, and they still did that.
I said it on Friday. If Tyler Shuck doesn't play this week, we're going to have a real conversation. Anyway, Dodgers and Blue Jays, game three tonight in L.A., Tyler Glasnow against Max Scherzer. This is Scherzer's fourth World Series. Fourth World Series for the Hall of Famer.
It's good.
I know if Luke was like, it's his last rodeo. And I was like, dude, if he throws four innings of shutout ball, he's pitching next year. In the World Series?
Yeah.
He's a rental. He's a rental at this point.
Yeah, you start him, what, 18 times a year?
Mm-hmm.
He's your fifth guy that every now and then takes a little bit of rest, and having a guy like that on your team, if you're a competitive team, it matters.
Sure does.
That's a calming presence. It's a guy who's been there. It's a guy who's done it. That stuff matters in baseball, man.
And they don't have anybody like that on the Blue Jays staff.
Nobody.
I mean, Gosman's a good pitcher, but I don't know how much postseason experience
Springer
has.
Well, I shouldn't say that. Springer.
But that's offense.
Yes, but you know, this Dodgers team, the entire roster has that.
A bunch of Cy Youngs everywhere.
Yeah, it's disgusting. And MVPs.
Web Jams, when we come back, I want to tell some fun stories about Andrew Luck and what I noticed about him on the weekend, because I'm a sicko and I watch Stanford football, because...
Hey, you're kissing the right butt.
So we'll get to Web Jams next. That's Danny. I'm Patrick, 105.1 The Fan.
Sometimes it's good.
Aw, I've interrupted happy time.
Sometimes it's bad.
Ow, son of a...
It's Web Gems.
What'd you do?
The firm of Harris and Marang on the Fan Sports Network. 105.1 and 1080 The Fan.
All right, this is Web Gems. We do it every single day at 11:45. Coming up in the big nooner, Blazers under Tiago Splitter split their games over the weekend.
They got me all wet.
Damn right, buddy. Wow. Brian Kelly gets canned in Orgeron State University. That's the big nooner for
you. Hope you all had a shitty day.
Yeah, you too, Brian Kelly.
Real quick on Splitter. Producer Danny over on the TV side for us on the post game, he's given old Splitter a nice little nickname, Master Splitter.
Oh, Master Splitter.
I was like, you know.
He does have a very chi to him.
You know, we'll talk about when we get there. I was really interested in Tiago's pregame. And
I watched it live, glued to it.
The thing that came out of that thinking, he's pissed.
Oh, I could tell he's not happy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we'll dive in a little bit more.
Yeah, to be thrust into this spot.
Yeah.
And just how it was. Yeah, yeah. We'll get to that in the big nooner coming up in 15 minutes. But I wanted to talk a little bit about Andrew Luck. And I know we laugh and joke that I watch Stanford games to appease my father-in-law, which is not a lie. Unless you're listening, mister, so I watch all games. I just watch all games. Fair.
You said it's not a lie.
It's not a lie.
You watch them.
I watch all games. But something I noticed, did you watch any of the Miami-Stanford game at all?
Not a second.
It was 7-0 at halftime. Or at the end of the first quarter, Stanford.
Yeah, that happens.
But it was interesting because Andrew Luck, I'm watching a lot of Stanford games for God knows what reason.
We know what the reason is.
He's usually sitting up in the box and kind of has got a headset on and just kind of, you can see him talking, communicating a little bit. He was on the sideline and he was kind of chirping. He was running up and down the field, kind of like
closer and he's getting closer, closer and closer and closer.
And for a guy that had to leave the league, that leave the game that he loved so much because he had lost interest,
seems like he's finding it again.
He looks like he's having a little bit of fun.
Mm-hmm.
And this game was so funny because he reminded me, and it's so funny that it's him specifically. He reminded me of me in this sense.
Go on.
When I was still living in Pullman. I don't think
Andrew Luck and Patrick Harris, same person.
I too am very similar.
I don't think I was still a student. I might have been teaching at the time, but I was still living in Pullman when Andrew Luck was at Stanford. And Luck came to town against my Fighting Wazoo Cougs. And at the very beginning of the game, all right, Andrew Luck, they get the ball. We kick the ball off. It's a touchback, all right? They get the ball at the 20. Andrew Luck steps back, launches a ball like 60 yards in the air into triple coverage, and Wazoo intercepts the football. Place is going bananas. Night game on Saturday. Old school Pac-12 after dark. It's like a crisp October evening. We're going nuts. We march the ball down the field. We score a touchdown. It's 7-0. And we're thinking, here we go. We've got this. Mm-hmm. Andrew Luck, I thought you were supposed to be the greatest thing since John Elway. Not so fast, loser.
What was the final score?
We left at halftime because it was 42-7. not the Cougs, because Andrew Luck completely
Andrew Luck.
Absolutely demoralized us and S'd all over our love.
Mm-hmm.
But that night, for a brief moment.
Oh, yeah.
For a brief moment, was one of the most proud I've ever been to be a Coug. And I kind of saw that in Luck on the sidelines against the U. It's 7-0 at the end of the first quarter. I know the conditions were terrible, but I'm now glued to this game.
Right.
At halftime, I changed the channel.
Right.
But I was kind of
that'll
glued.
Happen when Miami scores 21 in the third.
So I just want, you know, Web Gems brought to you today by Andrew Luck, really feeling the itch. He is here to stay, and I am very excited to see what they can do there.
They're
going to need to hire a new coach.
To make a local tie. It's what Oregon State's missing.
Truth.
And it's not just an alumni. It's somebody who has juice and cares.
Because I think some of these great accredited universities, you know, Cal's going to run into this real, real soon. Of like where academics matter more than sports. You know,
that's what always makes Stanford special is that Stanford can be good in spite of having such high standards.
And Notre Dame claims they have high standards,
they
too.
They do, but they're not as high.
They're not as high. They still love football more than Stanford loves football.
Sure.
I
mean, most of Stanford's alumni doesn't care.
But who's to say who's to say Stanford can't, you know, because Frank Reich is just the interim coach. Mm-hmm. He's just providing, him and Luck are providing stability this year, mm-hmm. something Oregon State could use. And he's got to go out and hire a head coach. Why not take a shot at James Franklin at Stanford?
Why not?
Dude, you have no expectations.
You zero.
Don't. Zero.
And not
zero.
Only that,
zero. Here's some money.
Not only
go
that,
recruit your ass off. Yeah.
Not only that.
By the way, we need a quarterback, though.
Stanford,
you got to get that right.
And we'll pay some assistants, but totally. What we Stanford's don't have to worry about pay. Is your assistants having to take from that money to go get their own housing because we provide the housing because it's so damn expensive to live in Palo Alto.
But ding,
not,
ding,
just,
ding.
Not just that. Stanford has more money than anybody else.
Yeah.
They can pay their coaching staff. That's the scary thing. Now, the admission stuff is the admission stuff. It's the same reason why the military academies, while they'll never be as good as they once were. Because the admission standards, for those that don't know, you need a signed letter from a sitting senator to even get into these schools. Well, yeah. On top of the academic stuff.
Those are going to get left behind. Every once in a while, the schedule's going to pan out, and Army's going to go undefeated, make the college football playoff,
you're
and
gonna
get
have
blown
a,
out.
You're going to have an NFL player here or there. Like, it's just going to pop up. But Stanford, their limitations are self-imposed on the academic side. Mm-hmm. But you can be very good. And with James Franklin... Franklin's a great coach. He is.
We
can talk about his faults and all those kind of things. How many coaches have been better than him in the last 15 years? It's like it's less than 10.
Most of them that have been better than him in the last
have 10, won a national
15
title.
Years have won natties.
That's, yeah. That's what I mean. Like,
if not multiple.
Yeah, and it's like, you know.
Or programs that have won multiple.
Yes.
Urban Day, I'll count them as multiple.
Yeah, for sure. But it's like, James Franklin's a really good coach. Does mm-hmm. he have his flaws? Absolutely. I mean, even Kirby Smart has his flaws. Like, he can't, you know, figure out Alabama and kill it more, apparently. Like, you know what I mean? Like, some flaws are greater than others, right? Ryan Day in Michigan. You know, it's like, they're going to fire you if you lose to Michigan, mm-hmm. you know, kind of a deal. But at Stanford, Harbaugh showed you can be successful. Shaw was successful. Like,
dude, I'd go get David Shaw. What's he doing right now?
I think that boat's probably, Shaw at the end.
Yeah,
was
the end
not,
was rough.
Yeah, it was rough. But yeah, I think you're right. I think you go, like, honestly, I think the kind of guy you need at a Stanford is a James Franklin. It is a Marcus Freeman. And
maybe this James Franklin falls a little short of this sometimes, but you don't want a Brian Kelly in the sense of, I think you need somebody that's likable because you don't want a red ass because, dude, you're going to lose games.
But you also
don't need to lose eight games.
You do need a red ass, though, because I think Shaw gets the thing of him not being a red ass. He absolutely was.
For sure. And so was Harbaugh.
Harbaugh, especially. And I think you do need that sense. And I don't know if you've ever seen any of the stuff from, like, the Stanford alumni that have kind of come back. I don't know why it's popped up on my feed over the last couple of years, but, like, the guys that are a part of that alumni as far as the football group is concerned, they are, like, dyed in the wool, like, for it. Mm-hmm. Like, it they are about it, to use a reference here. And I think Luck is the perfect guy for that because he is brilliant and he has that acumen and he does understand it and he does get it. And, like,
and
that's
a smart guy.
That's what I mean. He has that acumen
he's
of, like,
just football smart.
He's
a
just smart,
smart
guy. And that's the thing is, it's Stanford. And I think.
And he's got his dad to lean on for any advice because Oliver is smart as well.
Yep. And I don't think James Franklin's dumb.
No.
Not
no,
by
no.
any means. Can he be a little contentious? Sure. I mean, I'm contentious.
You don't say.
What?
But, like, I don't think he's. Do you think James Franklin's dumb?
No.
But so
I think Brian Kelly can be dumb and oblivious, like doing a fake Cajun accent. Like, what are you doing?
I think Brian Kelly's an idiot.
So, yeah. Well, yeah. You're not exactly on an island there. That's a big old island. But so say James Franklin does go someplace like Stanford,
mm-hmm.
and their current lot in the ACC.
Sure.
He goes there. He's going to have a bit of a leash because, again, the expectations are not what they are at Penn State.
No.
So does he sit there? Does he coast for a decade and a
half?
Hell
yeah,
man. At 8-4, 9-3? Is
yeah.
that, I mean,
hell
I would
yeah,
think that's
dude.
Good enough to let him be there for quite some time.
Every once in a while, you appear in an ACC championship game, and if you're 10-1,
and
you'll go to the
that,
playoff.
I think you just got to sniff it. You got to sniff being at the ACC championship.
But I mean, like,
nobody's expecting him, you know, to win a title there.
But I think they did when Harbaugh got things rolling.
Well, yes.
But that's what I'm saying. Because of the resources.
That's a long
that
time
they,
ago.
I know. But with the resources they have, and this is the debate we've had for the last couple of weeks about what name a program in the country. I legitimately think if you have the resources and you have the right people in power, any program in the country can be successful. The Indiana Hoosiers have one 10-win season in the existence of their program's history.
Vanderbilt's a top 10 team. Deservedly.
Yes.
Deservedly.
If you get it right, and getting it right is hard.
Very.
But the leveling of the playing field with NIL has been so huge.
I didn't think we saw it coming.
I thought it would take a little while to get to this point, but if you get it right, it does not matter where you are.
Because I don't mean to open the can of worms, but I'll say this and then we'll get out of here because we're up against it. I just thought it was going to be the opposite. I thought it was going to be more of the haves and more of the have-nots. I didn't think it was going to bring it together.
I think it is, but I think the opportunity for the haves is big, or the have-nots is bigger than it's ever been.
And I didn't see that coming.
Well, see, and maybe it's something to put a pin in for now, but wonder about later, is this year an outlier in terms of seeing the Vandys and the Georgia Techs in the top 10? Is this an outlier, or is this a sign of things to come? Exactly. Yeah. Has NIL and the transfer portal and all that even things out?
All right, when we come back, the big nooner coming up, let's get into some Blazers under Master Splinter and how we're feeling so good, because... Well, I don't know. It was not a fun game to watch. We'll do that next. Loaded Third Hour. Stick with us. We're having fun. 105.1 The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life, all told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.